Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I have so many guests, so many topics. Hey, I might not get in a word edgewise, but I know we're going to have some fun. So before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I am going to ask you what I always ask you to do. Every day, Monday through Friday, no matter what show it's on, I'm going to ask you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's some entrepreneur, some business owner, some individual in your life who needs this information. Our guests are here this morning to share their story, their journey, and their expertise with you and our audience. And your friends are not going to have the information unless you go ahead and share it with them. So maybe they're asleep. Maybe they're working. Maybe they're trying to take an online course. But I'm telling you, this information will change their lives. So you have to go ahead and share it, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going to go ahead and share the show with your friends, I'm going to introduce you to our very first guest, Mr. Brian Adams. Brian Adams is the president and founder of Excelsior Capital, where he spearheads the investor relations and capital markets arm of the firm. He has 10 years of experience in real estate, private equity, and has advanced knowledge and best practices for strategic real estate investing. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm excited. Where are you located, Brian?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, so no hat, no excitement. I need some energy. Nothing, no.
You know, I'm a New Yorker who married a Nashville girl.
I was like, you got that New York vibe.
I'm like the worst Tennessean ever, but I'm trying. I've been here 15 years. But it's still a challenge for me. Part of my heart is still in New York. But, once I started getting serious with my wife, it was non-negotiable. Nashville is like the son-in-law capital of the world. So I figured it was easier to move to Nashville than get a new girlfriend. So here I am.
You're funny. See, I'm glad I asked. I love that answer. Now, I read your bio, Brian. I read what you do, but tell us who you are and what you're passionate about.
Yeah. So I'm a recovering attorney, practiced law for a couple of years here in Nashville, and then got into the real estate business through my wife's family that has a family office here that invests in commercial real estate, venture capital, private equity. I'm excited to talk to some of the other panelists and maybe connect them with some of our investment folks. But about 11 years ago, I connected with another New York guy who married a Nashville girl. We started our company, and we really do three things. We give individuals and families access to direct real estate opportunities. We try to achieve a double-digit cash on cash yield, and we give people all the tax benefits that come from direct real estate ownership. And you know, those are the three things that we focus on. We are, for the most part, investing across the Southeast, the Midwest, and today we have about 2.5 million square feet under management.
Oh, wow. Impressive. I like you, but I think you should create a group, like a support group for New York guys who marry Nashville girls. Like, I can see that. I can see that. You can help some people and change the world.
Yeah. I mean, so many people are moving here that I don't think the locals would be really appreciative of me encouraging more people to relocate here from New York, especially given COVID. It's been overwhelming, frankly. But yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to grab pizza and beers and complain about the Mets and whatever else we would normally be doing in New York. Maybe post-COVID when things open back up here.
You are funny, Brian. I like you. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, Miss Dana Levin Robinson. Dana is the CEO and co-founder of Upfront, the first site dedicated to pricing transparency in daycares. She is the former chief of staff at Virtual Health, a growth stage health tech company that was named Deloitte's 39th fastest growing company, and spent years in various advertising agencies. Where? New York City. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Thanks
Tell
for
us
having
about
me.
yourself, Dana. What are you
Yeah.
doing? What's going on with you?
It's oh my God, what didn't go? Well, I had a pandemic baby, so that was very interesting.
Wow.
I'm from New York. I'm not from New York, but I've been living here 10 years, so I officially, you know, earned my New Yorker card and had a baby right in last March. So he's turning about a year old, and I always joke I have two babies, the company and, you know, the actual baby. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting, and especially because our company works with so many parents, you know, we're focused on daycares and preschools. It's been really interesting actually being part of the consumer group myself for the first time. And actually, you know, it's one thing I think to work on a company that, you know, you can kind of talk, you know, about the problems, but it's another one to really feel the problems. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at. And it's been awesome. Exhausting and awesome.
I love it. So when he gets older and he actually gets to go outside, he's going to be blown away. He's going to be like, oh my God, people actually are outside.
Yeah, no, he's pretty friendly. He sees people around Central Park. He's really into animals. He kind of screams at the Central Park ducks. We're gonna have to work on that. But it's great. It's honestly, like, it's given us so much more time together, I think, as a family. And, you know, so that has been a blessing, but it's also a weird year to have your first kid, you know.
Yes.
I think, you know, anyone here who has children, you don't really know what you're walking into, and then having that during a pandemic is just an incredibly strange situation. None of us planned on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So why the need for transparency in daycare?
Because it's not out there and people don't think it matters. Like, no joke, yesterday, we're fundraising right now. I got an email from an investor saying that prices don't matter for daycares, that parents don't think about price when they're choosing childcare. And any of us who have ever talked to any parent, we know that's not true. We know money matters. Unless you truly have, you know, you are Beyonce and you have three nannies, money matters. And I think not enough people talk about that because the numbers are really difficult to find. These businesses intentionally hide it because they want you to come on the tour. They want you to stretch your budget and go above what you're able to afford. And we're the ones really changing that and saying, that's not acceptable. We're not okay with that situation. And we're going to be the ones putting the prices out there. And by the way, not everyone's cool with that. We've gotten some emails that saying you're not allowed to do that. And we're essentially pushing back and saying, yes, we are.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I was a single mother who raised two children. And aside from just the transparency, my biggest issue is I felt like daycares need to understand or do some type of planning when you have multiple children. I mean, three kids at what, $500 a month? That's $1,500 for you to watch my kids. It's the same kids. Put them in a room.
Higher. The national average, by the way, is around $1,200 a month. And I'm not even talking about New York where it's like $24. It is a lot of money. So for us, you know, I love it when I read, you know, people saying that money doesn't matter, because it absolutely does.
It does. It absolutely does. Now, Dana, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. And we have two that joined us today. I'm so excited to be able to meet Adriana and Amanda of Peace and Plenty. They're co-founders, visionary and chief voice officer. Amanda is a Canadian native. She now lives where? In upstate New York. I think this is the New York themed show today. I don't know how that worked, but it did. So they are diehard NFL fans, five-time fantasy football champs. They're excited New England locals. Good morning to Adriana and Amanda.
Good morning. Hello, hello. We are so excited to be here. As you said, I am Canadian born. My favorite sport is actually hockey. So I grew up playing it and love it. And Miss Adriana is over in Maine. I'll let Adriana kind of introduce herself because I can run off with the mouth pretty well. So go ahead, Adriana.
So my name is Adriana Spezafero. I am here with Amanda. We are co-founders of Peace and Plenty. I'm originally from Florida, not New York, and I am now in Maine. Something that I am passionate about, and I know Amanda feels the same way, we love to help people. We're in the business of helping people. And my goal every single day is to leave this earth one day better than the day it was before. So anything that I can do, anything that we can do to help small business owners, that's what we're here for. And that's what we're passionate about.
So Adriana, tell us about Peace and Plenty. What is the
company? Absolutely. So Peace and Plenty is a platform for virtual vendor events for small businesses to get their products or services out to a whole new network of customers that may not have heard of them otherwise. We actually did what a lot of people did and started a business at the height of the pandemic. And we found a need and we have just, you know, run with it. There has been a need for brick and mortars and online businesses to not just survive, but really thrive. And instead of having to close their doors, we've created this opportunity for them.
Yes. Amanda, tell us why Peace and Plenty is important to you.
Peace and Plenty is very important to me because I feel like it's allowed, more importantly, like brick and mortar, it's allowed them to pivot in a time where some of them have felt the need to, or maybe felt the pressure where they don't have any other choice but to move more online. So we, in addition to offering the platform, we offer a lot of training and a lot of support and community. The one thing that I really, I'm so proud that we have built and our vendors have built, I have to give a lot of credit to them too, is this amazing community of helping each other, grow, of community over competition. Like that is something that has grown in just 5 months alone within Peace and Plenty. And it truly is just this beautiful thing that has blossomed and continues to blossom and evolve. I consider it a success if one person doesn't have to close their doors, one brick and mortar, one person has found their passion, and one, you know, stay-at-home mom who has had to do hybrid model has found their passion and is able to take what they want to do. And now we're able to help them, provide them a platform to get their products and services out there. Peace and Plenty does that. And it's a huge passion of ours.
I can tell you're passionate about it. Now, Adriana, when you say vendors, right? So I tend to think of something like Wish or Etsy, where there are multiple stores that come together where people can make purchases. Am I on the right path?
Yes, you are. So we welcome all types of business owners, whether they are handcrafters like you would see on Etsy, one-of-a-kind boutiques, as well as direct sales. And yes, our platform is a one-stop shop. So you can get, you know, handcrafted jewelry, you can get makeup and skincare, and then you can go get hair care all in one spot.
No, I love that. And then you also have support for them because since it's everyone advertising, everyone pushing the traffic and the visitors to the website, everyone benefits.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I love that. Now, Amanda, Adriana, I am going to come back to you. I'm not going to leave you alone, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Janine Bolin. She is the CEO of 5 businesses. We'll find out if any of them are in New York City, but she's also a fellow podcaster that can add value to her listeners regarding finances, spirituality, and business building. Good morning, Janine. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa Hardy. It's finally wonderful to make your acquaintance and to be here on this round table. I have been looking forward to this for several weeks. We finally made it happen, didn't we, girl?
We did. I know. I've been excited talking.
Yeah.
She says, Sharifa Hardy. I'm like, oh, the only person who says my full name is my mom. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm in trouble.
I didn't use your middle name. So as long as I don't use your middle name, you're okay.
Middle name.
That's when you know it's going down. That's when that happens. But yeah, I'm a single mom myself. I have 4 kids and I just started multiple businesses. And as I did that, I am sorry, none of them are in New York City.
Oh.
They're all located up and down the Front Range of Colorado. So I'm coming to you from about a mile high and just wanted to share with you a little bit of the Rocky Mountain air out here.
Well, we can't see it. I would love, I gotta, you know, next time we need you outside, if the air blowing, and that's great. I love it. What are you passionate about, Janine?
I'm passionate about helping people with a little bitty idea. So some people have called me the thriving solopreneur because those little bitty ideas are what really help you derive your passion. And so I have 10 books. You know, you had asked us to bring a book on the show. Well, I've got 10, so that would be a little difficult. But the thriving solopreneur, I think, is the one that was most appropriate for your show. Those little tiny ideas that they have, how they go about building them, how they go about building their cash and living debt-free. So my authorship started with debt-free living several years ago, back in the dark ages of 2002. And I've been teaching people debt-free living ever since. But what I love about Amanda and Adriana and what they're doing is then once they have cash actually coming in, then they can move on to a platform and help them with that. And then we got Dana sitting there going, ooh, and let me help you with lowering your childcare expenses. As single mothers, we understand that. It's basically another mortgage payment, isn't it, ladies? And yes. Then when we have an opportunity to finally start getting money building up, then you need somebody like Brian to come along and help you with your financial plan. So it's like, I can't wait to hear what Christopher does because I know I can build a network and something around him.
Okay, so then what we're going to do is we're going to come back to you because we have to hear your take on Christopher. Now, our next guest is Mr. Christopher Tufford. Christopher is SAS founder and CEO. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's a poker enthusiast. He's a professional superbike racer, Toronto Maple Leafs fan from Burlington, Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Christopher. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm excited to have you here. Tell us about yourself.
Married, father of a son. My company, Green Apple Pay, is a digital fundraising platform that helps organizations like nonprofits and community groups create new digital recurring revenue streams through spare change and cashback rewards by making it simple and easy for their stakeholders to contribute to their normal everyday spending, sort of like a cashback rewards program for organizations.
I like that, but it's so funny. You said certain words because my friends always laugh at me. We'll be out, you know, especially I'm in Long Beach, California, huge homelessness rate, which I'm trying to work on, especially running for Senate. But we'll be walking down the street and someone will come up and they're like, you have any spare change? And I'm like, no such thing. There's no such thing. Like all the change I have is mine. It's not spare. So I love the term, but you know, hey.
I'm also, I'm not in New York. I've been to New York and I'm about a half hour from the Ontario, New York border. So that's about the best I can do.
So you're a poker enthusiast.
Yeah. So I ran the largest amateur poker tour in Canada back earlier in the 2000s from about 2005 to 14 under license to the World Poker Tour.
Mm-hmm. Why poker? Why you love poker so much?
It's a great strategy game. It's the deeper you get into it, the more you realize it's there's always luck involved, but the deeper you get into it, the more strategy it becomes. It really becomes a bit of a 3D chess game sometimes.
Oh no, I was just asking because I love poker. Like if I were to go to Vegas, my game is poker. And I really believe that poker symbolizes life. You truly have to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. So I was just kind of trying to get your take on poker and, you know, its application to life. Now, I have another question. You're a serial entrepreneur. And I always ask people who say they are serial entrepreneurs, do you feel like it was something in you that just always made you want to be an entrepreneur? Do you have a family that are entrepreneurs? Like, what made you just start a business after business after business?
I don't know. That's a good question. My mom was a teacher and my dad was a sales manager in office products. So I don't really have much of an entrepreneurial streak there. My mom's father owned a painting business. That's the closest thing I probably have to in the family. I remember being 6 years old and opening up a lemon, you know, like a lemonade and a Kool-Aid stand, you know, on the street near our house. So I kind of started early. I did stuff in high school that was sort of business related like that. I left college after 2 years to start my first business. So I didn't even finish college.
6 year old out there selling lemonade and Kool-Aid. I think that is so cool. I think I haven't heard many people at six, you know, maybe 8, 11, but six. I like it. We're going to have to learn from you today, Christopher. Now I'm going to go back over to Janine. We got Christopher.
Okay, so also a serial entrepreneur, but I was in the Midwest at the time, and so I sold earthworms to bait shops. Yes, I was that kid. So serial entrepreneur, and definitely you can learn a lot from serial entrepreneurs. You want to be their best friend because they will help you see the things that they have tried and failed. A lot Absolutely. Of entrepreneurs will think, oh, but what I'm going to do, that won't fail because you didn't have what I had. And trust me, serial entrepreneurs have systems. And if you focus on your systems, then you'll be successful. And a lot of times people get into business and they don't think through the system. So Christopher's somebody that definitely can help them with strategy as well as tactics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I'm reading on my screen, Janine, that you are a podcast producer, correct?
Correct. I have 4 shows that I run right now.
Okay, so you just can't just do something once. Like, you're not just one book, you have 10 books. You can't just do one show. You have to produce 4 shows.
Correct. And that is because once I have a system, once I know how to do it, it's just turn the crank and keep it going out. I have a lot I want to share with the world. And I was told on multiple occasions throughout my life that I was going to die. I was given a death sentence 3 times. I was struck by lightning, fell off horses, car accidents.
Wow.
And so
I'm staying with away that, from you.
Yep. But with all of that, you learn to really live life at full speed. And for those who find me annoying or exhausting, I'm like you, there is no such thing as spare change. There is no such thing as spare time. I am here. I know I'm on borrowed time. And so I keep moving. But I want friends like all these wonderful people we have on the roundtable. Now, I want to learn as much as I can about you because you're doing great stuff. And that means I don't have to build a system because you've already got it working and going on. So that's what's exciting about today's roundtable.
Okay, so Janine, we need to know if you really mean what you say. If you want to be friends with everyone, you say you're a podcast producer, 4 shows, that means you should be really good at coming up with questions. So you have one question that I'm going to ask each guest. What is that question?
Why do you do what you do?
That's the same as what are you passionate about? Like that's, I need something.
No, I'll disagree with you, sweetheart. And with total respect, why do you do what you do is very different from what are you passionate about?
True.
It's an action verb. What do you do or what are you passionate about is what gets them started, gets that inspiration, gets them, but why you do what you do, that's the motivation. And so that's how I clarify it. But that's because I'm an author and I'm very picky about words. So don't worry about me.
I'm not worried about you. I like you. You're good. Dana, why? What's your why?
You know what? So I think there is a difference in that question. I'll agree with Janine in that in terms of passion, absolutely we're passionate about affordable childcare and bringing that transparency. But what do? What I do? I could have worked for another childcare company. I could have worked for another company that has similar goals, but I do what I do. I'm a founder of a startup because the truth is I wanted to control my own destiny. I had worked for larger companies. I had worked for other startups. I have seen the eye rolls that happen when women have to leave at 5 to go relieve their nanny and be able to have both a family and a career. And I didn't want that for myself. I wanted to run my own schedule. And by the way, I work way harder now than I did when I was working for someone else. But at the same time, I control my time. If I want time with my son, I get to do that. And my co-founder is a fellow mom. She's the same way. We're super flexible with each other. And I do what I do because I didn't want anyone else to dictate my schedule.
I love it. I love it. Amanda, why?
So for me personally, it comes from a sense of we started it during the pandemic. And I have always wanted to build my own business and be my own boss and make my own mark in the world. And to be a person that has come from the corporate world where I felt like a number, right? Where I always felt like I didn't necessarily matter. I was easily replaceable. To going into this business, feeling like I actually have an impact and I actually have control over that impact. It is something that is almost, I can't quite put into words, but to have an impact on somebody else's life and to know that you're actually helping somebody. Whereas when you're in the corporate world, you don't necessarily see where your work the end point of your work or where that helps somebody. So for me, it's about service, and it's about service for other people. And also my daughter, my son, them being able to see me do what I want to do with life and having them know that they can do that too. And I know it sounds so cliche, but it's very true. And I'm very passionate about doing what I feel called to do in life instead of what I, instead of what society says we need to do, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I believe that cliches are cliches for a reason. And that's usually because they're true. So Christopher, why?
Well, in general, I think as an entrepreneur, I want to echo what Dana's points were in terms of being able to sort of control your time and control your destiny. There's been lots of times, we're about to launch our beta, so there's been lots of times recently where I can sit down at my desk on a Sunday at 10 a.m. and I'll be there till I get called for dinner at 5:30 or 6. And, you know, you're putting in long hours, but you get to balance that off sometimes if I want to feel like I have a bit of an open day and I just randomly want to pull my son from school and go to an amusement park for the day. We have that ability to sort of balance your time. We're probably working harder than you would at a 9-to-5 job at a company, but at least you get to control your time.
Yes, absolutely. Brian, why?
Yeah, similar vein to what everyone else has said, as a child of 2008, I never wanted a situation where somebody could come into my office with a cardboard box and say, here you go, put all your stuff in it. And that would be due to, you know, extrinsic forces outside of your own control, right? Because a bunch of people on Wall Street put a bunch of CMBS debts that they couldn't cover. So I never wanted to have that situation again as an employee. And so I think that's what led me to be an entrepreneur. And then with real estate in general, similar vein, because I see this democratization of access to alternatives and startups and private equity and real estate in general, it's going to be a sea change here for the next 10 or 20 years. And part of that, I think, is an intrinsic, you know, lack of faith in Wall Street. These are allegedly the smartest guys in the world that need a bailout every 10 years. And there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, see, you know what you're talking about. I can definitely tell. And then you said that cardboard box. I was laid off 8 times when I wrote my first book. It was actually called And Here's Your Box. And people were like, why did you name it? I was like, because each and every time, they always give you the same spiel, the same, you're wonderful. You just won attendance award and your employee review was wonderful. But Sharifa, here's your box. Take all your personal items and everything off your desk because you no longer work here. So I definitely agree. Adriana, why?
So my why, I guess, is twofold. To Amanda's point, I am a bonus mom of two young ladies that are extremely intelligent and have great education. And I want to be able to be the best role model for them that, you know what, if you are called to do something, if you believe wholeheartedly and have a mission behind what you're doing, whatever that is, whether it's a lemonade stand or a business, you know, or a business like Peace and Plenty, you put your heart and soul into it 100% and you will see the returns pay out in dividends. The other reason why I do what I do is to really lift the voice of the small business owner and change the face of small businesses. I think sometimes they get a bad rap. I think there's a stigma that it has to be done a certain way. And I think that has to change. I think COVID taught all of us that things have to always be in perpetual motion to change and be one step ahead. And I want to help others with that.
I love that answer. Now, Adriana, I'm gonna ask you something weird. And I like asking weird questions, right?
Go
because
for it.
Because you're sitting there talking and all I see in the background is family, which tells me but family is important. But then as you move and as you talk, I keep seeing different letters. So I just wanna see what else is on the other side of, eat, drink, enjoy.
Yes.
I like that. And what's the large letter at the end? The other
S.
way?
S.
Oh, it's just S. It's just the S?
Yeah, for my last name.
Oh, I like that. The next show, you might see something similar in the background. I'm just going to let you know in advance. Okay?
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, family is everything. And family, of course, it's your DNA, it's your blood, but it's not always that. Family is the people that you surround yourself with. That's your support system. That's your those are your ride or dies, right? Those are the people that are there no matter what. And no, at the end of the day, whether I'm working, you know, 18 hours or 18 minutes, I go back to family. We go back to family. Family is the root of everything.
Yes. Now, Janine, we asked your question. What are your thoughts? Did we do it right?
I think we did it just fine. I think it's great. And to kind of chat a little bit about what was going on with me, my why really motivated me to do something exceedingly outside of my normal bandwidth, which was I was an analytical biochemist working in the pharmaceutical industry as one of the lab rats, as we like to refer to ourselves. I was in automation and robotics, and this was back in 1996. I was not handed a box. However, what ended up happening was because I became pregnant, I was no longer allowed to do the job that I had spent 15 years training myself to do. I was no longer allowed into the laboratory because I was pregnant. And back then, they didn't have maternity leave and that sort of thing. So I decided I was not only going to leave corporate America, I was also going to homeschool my children, and I ended up having four that I homeschooled. And so that is how I ended up becoming this entrepreneur that just builds and builds and builds with systems and automation. So one of the things that really drives people, and what I've loved hearing about everybody, is controlling their time, which is in essence saying, I want to create my own life. Thank you.
Yes, I definitely agree. Dana, another thing that I heard in all the whys is about children. Like, children are the driving force, wouldn't you say, in a lot of these decisions?
Yeah, I fully agree. And, you know, kind of as I said earlier, you know, I was running this company before I had a son, you know, before I had my baby, and now I'm running it after. And there is a difference. You know, there is absolutely a whole world that you enter. You don't know how hard it's going to be. You don't know how expensive it's going to be. So I think that's absolutely right. And especially, you know, for me as like a woman in tech, you know, that was something that I think a lot of my fellow colleagues were kind of keeping an eye on, even when we were interviewing, is what is the parental leave policy? You know, are they just giving us, you know, 2 weeks and then, you know, you're kind of on your own? You know, is it more generous than that? And I think, you know, a lot of those conversations have been happening, you know, with, and tech has actually been, you know, despite getting kind of a bad rap, has really been on the forefront of a lot of these benefits, which I think is great. But it's been something that I think, you know, has been talked about a lot more even in the past few years. And, you know, bringing it back to, you know, not New York themed, but New York State is actually one of the most progressive about this. We have mandatory 12-week, you know, leave, not at 100% of your salary, but, you know, a portion of it. And I do think like there is a policy piece to this. You know, I don't think that's enough, you know, for all of us to get together on a panel and talk about how necessary it is, or, you know, do posts on Facebook. Like, it goes all the way up top. So, you know, that's something I'm personally really interested in seeing how it develops, and really sort of optimistic about, is there does need to be a policy change.
Mm-hmm. Christopher, yeah. I would love to hear your thoughts, because one of the things that you mentioned is how important being able to do activities with your son is.
Yeah. And part of the genesis for Green Apple was born from him. I was involved in a lot of the different fundraising events for his. My son does high level sport karate, so he competes in tournaments. And the team did a lot of fundraising, but old school stuff that the parents controlled, right? You know, barbecues and bake sales and used clothing, electronics drives and raffle ticket sales and t-shirt sales and all the old school stuff. And plus the stuff I saw that was happening at the school, similar. And I thought, well, there's got to be a better way if we could create these digital revenues. And I thought there's platforms out there to do this for the individual, so you can earn cashback rewards to yourself, like a Rakuten, right? Or you can have spare change invested into your retirement, like Acorns. But for the most part, there's no organizations, there's no platforms out there doing it at the organizational level where 100 people could all pool their spare change or cashback rewards and send it to an organization. So it was somewhat born out of the fact that I could saw the need from my son's activities.
Are you required to be a nonprofit?
No, because we're just helping the nonprofits.
Okay, so if there was a business owner or a group or organization per se that wanted to fundraise as a group, they can use Green Pay as well?
Yeah, they could use Green Apple Pay too.
Green Apple Pay.
They don't have to be a registered charity. We can do it for charities, nonprofits, churches, schools, recreational sports teams and leagues and other clubs and organizations, community organizations like food banks, all that kind of stuff. If you fundraise as a primary or secondary aspect of your operations, then we could help you.
But it's for one specific goal, if I'm understanding this correctly.
It could be ongoing, right? It's just a way to sort of create ongoing recurring revenues to the organization.
I like that. So, because I love to learn. That's why I do this show. I tell people I do this show for selfish reasons. I want to be the person in the know who knows all the different trends and what's going on in the world. So, because I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. So, Christopher, I have a church and I want all the congregation to pool their resources. So their spare change is collected and we can use that. Do we have to reach a certain goal or anything like that?
No, it just accumulates in a digital wallet, and then the organization just draws out of the digital wallet on an as needed basis. So they can. It's a good idea to give your supporters a target of why you're fundraising, what you're fundraising for or towards, but then you just draw it out as needed. You know, you could be pulling it out monthly if you wanted to, but I expect most organizations are going to be pulling it out quarterly, semi-annually, annually.
Is there a fee to the organization?
We just do a rev share split. So there's no upfront cost. There's no setup costs or monthly fees or anything. We just do a rev share split. We don't get paid unless you get paid.
I like that. I'm going to have some new guests for you momentarily. I saw someone go off on mute. Someone had a question.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Christopher, about that. Yeah. So is it an app or is it a functionality that can be added into a website when people make a purchase? Is it both? Is it none of that?
So it's web-based right now. The app will sort of come down phase two. We're just launching initially with the transaction rounding to create the spare change and what we call an add-on, a bit of a poker analogy. So people can just add on a fixed amount at the end of the month. So whatever the spare change totals up to at the end of the month, $20, we could say throw on another $20 and make it $40 at the end of the month. Then down the road, we'll start plugging into organizations so that you can start creating cashback rewards by sending tracked spending to retailers online or bricks and mortar. So we could then start connecting into a platform like yours. So you could send traffic to your retailers in exchange for a commission that then goes back to the organization that the person shopping is supporting.
I like
that. Absolutely.
So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to sign up the organization. The company Ash Sharifa. And then my first person I'm gonna sign up or get to participate is Brian, because Brian's an investor. He has a lot of resources. So Brian, I need all your spare change. You with me?
Yeah. So I'm actually sending Chris a note right now that our family invested in a company here in the States called Kindful. I'm gonna send him a note and happy to hook him up with the management team. It actually just went through a transaction, got bought by a larger group. They had a lot of success. I mean, it took a while, but it was basically a white label concept that nonprofits could use because they always have a great mission statement, a good network, but they're terrible at fundraising. And so this really helped them streamline all of that. And I can't remember, I think a strategic bought them, but I'm happy to introduce you to the folks. They're based in Nashville, if it'd be helpful at all.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
No, Brian, that was wonderful. I'm pretty sure the company appreciates it. Christopher appreciates it. But I noticed you did not answer my question.
What was the question? Sorry. I wanted to make sure I got the note out to Christopher before I left
change,
my head.
Brian.
Oh. for your show?
For Ash Sharifa.
Okay. What's the mission statement? Okay. It sounds like a good deal.
He's like actually answering me like I'd have thought this whole thing through. Yeah. I just want you to give me money, Brian. Like there's no plan. There's no structure. There's none of that. Like
I've already written you the thank you note, so I can put some dollars in here if you want.
I appreciate that. I like ones that fold, okay? I appreciate the ones that.
I gotcha.
It should include 65 cents, which is your spare change.
Yo, Christopher, I was folding and you jingling. No. Dana, Adriana, Amanda, this could be something that works for your organization as well. There are so many people who need support in ways that could increase and help them during this time frame. What did you say?
Go ahead, Adriana.
No, I was going to say we've had this, we've been talking about finding a way to also give back. So I'll let Amanda kind of talk to that, but we want to find a way to give back more in addition to giving back to the small business owners.
But giving back more in terms of to charities, in terms of to other online organizations or even other startups. So this is getting the wheels turning, so to speak. It's getting the wheels spinning, so to speak. But I'm also, there's other ideas turning in terms of where this could also help our vendors though too, right? So I can, and how we can utilize that on our platform and on our website. So that gains them visibility and traction and the spare change, so to speak.
Yes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It could help and benefit the vendors because this is an additional thing that they can offer as well. And only your website through this process will be offering it to multiple vendors on one platform.
Exactly.
Okay, so does the nonprofit have to be registered with Green Apple Pay?
So the business model is we create relationships through a service agreement with the organization itself, and then we help them onboard all of their supporters into the platform to help activate them into users.
Got it. Perfect.
Janine, how are we going to use this on 10 books, 4 shows, and 18 businesses?
not 18. I'm good at 5. Okay. Right now, I'm just thinking the best way I can serve the community is by getting you guys on my podcast program so that you can talk about your products and your services and have landing pages ready for people. So that's, I've got the 4 shows. So you've got the Thriving Solopreneur, which all of you definitely qualify for. And we have author podcasting, and we also have the Writer's Hour. And so there's all kinds of shows that I have, and I think that's the best way I can serve this community and this roundtable right now.
Okay, so I heard 3 shows. I'm missing one.
That's the Practical Mystic show. That's the woo-woo side of my life. Yeah.
Ooh, let's talk about that. I love woo-woo. What is the Practical Mystic?
Honey, I'm a mile high in Colorado, so we've got lots of woo-woo out here. And I hesitate to bring it up to all my wonderful New England, New Yorker types because, man, these people are direct and let's get things done. But the Practical Mystic Show was born out of the fact I was struck by lightning.
Wow. And
with that experience, I had 16 different Native American tribes teach me various things about their tribal situations because of the gifts, the metaphysical gifts that came with that experience. And so I talk about that in one of my series, the Divine Series. So,
Janine, you are trying very hard not to lose the audience right now. I don't care if they're entrepreneurs and business owners. I want to know about, how did you find 16 different tribes? Like, how did that happen?
Well, the thing is when you are a mystic, as I like to call anybody that has any sort of extrasensory perception, please realize I was also a scientist for years. And so to move into the woo-woo camp, I do so and I tread carefully. But in order to, when you have the visions that I had, you know where to go and stand. So I would go to Wyoming or Montana, and I would go stand at a grocery store or a gas station out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And all of a sudden, a Native American would come by, and I would hand him some tobacco or her some tobacco and say, I am looking for a medicine wheel that is within this area. Can I be at one so I can do a ceremony? You got introduced to the shamans of the tribe, and then you were taken to certain locations so that you could perform these various ceremonies.
I like that, Janine. And I saw you slip that in there. I listen. I hear code. You said extra sensory perception. So yes. Basically, you have ESP is what you're trying to tell us without telling us.
Yes, I am a psychic, but not the kind that do very well for Hollywood. I will fail epically. I'm not like a Renee Brown or somebody like that who has those sort of mediumship skills. My skills is in spiritual healing.
Okay, we're going to talk. I'm going to come on that show. Adriana, your thoughts? Love to hear it.
You're speaking my love language right now, Janine. Like Amanda and I'm speaking for both of us, we are super, super passionate and spiritual and very into all that you're talking about. And I want to hear more about your ceremony that you went to, that you attended and participated in.
I'd like to offer the New Yorker point of view that if someone in a grocery store offered me tobacco, you know not to take that as a New Yorker. Like you do not take that.
It doesn't work the same.
It does not work in my part of that.
Don't take anything
someone offers you in a grocery store. It will not end up well.
You just got to change what you're being offered, because I live in Long Beach, California. It won't be tobacco, but I guarantee you people, they barter here.
No New Yorker will take it. We are very skeptical.
I don't think Janine was in the grocery store. I think she was standing in front of the grocery store.
We would still not take it.
That's what I mean. It's arguably worse.
Arguably. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're going to come back to, I want to ask Amanda, but I want to go to Brian. Brian, are people offering tobacco out there in Nashville?
You know, I think Tennessee is going to be one of the last states to decriminalize marijuana, although I am a former prosecutor. So I started my legal career as an assistant district attorney general here in Nashville, Davidson County. And not to take the conversation to a different realm, but people ask me about that experience. And the first thing I tell them is, you know, if we could decriminalize, you know, Schedule I drugs, you know, and not have 18 to 30 year old black males prosecuted, there wouldn't be a lot of jobs for DAs left in the world, frankly. That was the bulk of my work. So I personally am really happy to see a lot of these rollbacks across the nation. And I think with COVID, it's created a situation where the tax base on a lot of these state and municipality levels is leaving to go to the Sun Belt and the Southeast and places like New York. I mean, I went to high school with Cuomo. Their hand is going to be forced. They're going to have to start initiating, deregulating a lot of these sinful activities and creating, you know, tax bases off of them, because otherwise they're going to have to continue to increase taxes on the remaining affluent tax base and decrease services, which is going to be a bit of a death spiral. So I think you'll see more and more states, municipalities open up that decriminalization in order to increase tax revenue.
And I'll chime in as well that I used to be one of the organizers at High and Why, which is one of like the big event organizers in New York around cannabis. And I fully agree. I think it's going to make sense for financial reasons, but also for political reasons that the popular opinion does want it decriminalized. And I think a lot of the politicians are going to have to listen to that. And I think the way they're going to start is dip their feet into the medical grounds. And, you know, and that's kind of what New York has already done with sort of an approved list of conditions that you qualify for, and then open it up recreationally. I think it's always going to be kind of a two-step process. But I absolutely think, I mean, I think New Jersey already did it, and New York is following very soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I'd love to have Janine's thoughts here, because I think it does dovetail to be an entrepreneur. Oftentimes these concepts or ideas, they seem impossible until you hit some sort of tipping point, and then it becomes inevitable. Like we saw it play out with gay marriage. I think we're seeing it play out with decriminalization of marijuana use. You know, 10 years ago, it seemed impossible. And now it seems like the dominoes are just going to continue to fall. And it's a similar pathway, I think, for a lot of these states. Although Tennessee, I think it's still going to be a bit, although we do have a senator who is trying to propose some medical marijuana initiatives, but I think it's still going to be a pretty tough sell in this part of the world.
Yes, I do want to hear what Janine has to say, but I believe Christopher was about to make a comment.
I was just going to make the point that, you know, Canada being your sort of northern neighbor that you guys forget about, but our societies are so similar. We skipped right over decriminalization, went right to legalization, and now we have stores on just like Colorado started in the U.S. and California. So they don't have to look very far to get examples that, is this a problem or is this something that there's people are sort of worried about a boogeyman that doesn't really exist. I don't think you have to look very far than some of the states that have done it in the entire country of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Christopher, you're speaking my language. As a Canadian living in America, you're speaking my language.
we just haven't seen sort of this is going to cause massive problems with addiction and everything else. You know, I would think I think alcohol is still probably a bigger issue than marijuana. Yeah.
I definitely agree, Janine.
Well, since I am in Colorado, which is leading the charge, leading the charge on all of this, I can tell you when I moved to Colorado 5 years ago, what was amazing was I had been in Colorado originally. Ohio State University hired me to do some stuff, and then I moved back. So in that process of time, it became legal. And so my kids were like freaking out because they thought that when we moved back to Colorado, everybody on every street corner would be trying to shove marijuana in somebody's face and all this kind of stuff. And I just started laughing because we have very identifiable buildings, and they are everywhere. And certain coffee chains are now fighting for the right of real estate because there is so much of the bud and medical aspects of cannabis floating around. One of the things that does come up with that, though, is there is a part where it's like crazy. Everything's everywhere, and everywhere you turn, you smell it. You smell skunk everywhere, and it's just awful. But then it you go through that chaos, right? As everybody kind of has, oh, it's free and I can do it anytime I want and smoke anywhere. And then it kind of balances out, and then society gets on with living. So if Tennessee, God bless them, can handle the chaos that comes with the initial, yeah, I know, my family's from there. That's one of the challenges that you have is, you know how they talk about systems, you know, you have simplicity, then you have chaos and simplicity. If you can handle the chaos, we will return to simplicity. And every entrepreneur on this roundtable knows what I'm talking about. There's that period of time where that great idea all of a sudden explodes, it catches fire. You're doing everything you can to put that fire out, and eventually the systems catch up with you, and then you have simplicity again.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have completely enjoy today's conversation. We laughed, we learned. It was a wonderful show. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. We only have about 9 minutes left and a lot of people. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Dana.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. And always great to, you know, I think I spend so much of my day, you know, talking to other people and the family tech and the parent tech space. It's always great to meet other people. But, you know, I would say the takeaway is go back and ask yourself again, why do you do what you do? You know, like I mentioned that investor email yesterday, and not everyone's going to get what you do. Not everyone's going to get it. And that's okay. When you're doing something brand new and that's a little untested, you can't expect everyone to be fully on board, you know? So I think, you know, my biggest takeaway in general, really the past year has been, don't look for approval everywhere because you're just not going to get it. And the more you know why you're doing what you're doing and that you truly, I think there's absolutely like data validation and external validation, all that. But I think it also sometimes like all entrepreneurs know it's in your gut. Like you just know that you're doing something that's truly valuable in the world. Then I think, you know, you have to hold on to that because that is something. And that does mean that someone else out there is probably feeling the pain point that you're trying to solve.
Absolutely. Talk about in a gut. Adriana, what do you have for us? Go with your gut.
So I want to just share the message that if you are a small business owner or you have questions or you know a small business owner, you know what, reach out to us. Amanda and I both would love to help you, would love to give you more information. Feel free to check us out on social media. We are at Peace and Plenty, spell out the and it's an I instead of a Y, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the places. And our website is peaceandplenty.com. Again, we're just here to help all the small business owners. So thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Amanda.
Similar to Adriana, thank you everybody here for the panel. It's been such a joy to have and speak to all of you guys. What a wonderful conversation. To everybody out there personally, in addition to what Adriana said, you know, if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that we can't wait for things to turn back to normal, right? So we have to stop waiting for the right time. The right time is now. And so if you have an idea, if you're thinking, maybe I should do this, yes, do it. The right time is right now. There's somebody out there that you could help with your idea and you might not realize it. So just do it. Stop waiting for the right thing to go this way or that way. Just start and see where it goes. Absolutely. You have nothing to lose at this point in time.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I love your red hair. It's just so beautiful, so bright. I love it. Thank you.
Maya.
Christopher.
Yeah, any entrepreneurs listening out there, I would say being an entrepreneur is a lot of time is about perseverance. Everything tends to take longer than you think. It's harder than you think, and you're going to hear a lot of no's. So it really is about being able to, every time you get knocked down, you got to be able to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep going. And don't worry about the fact that you're going to have a lot of doors slammed in your face. If you believe in what you're doing and you're passionate about it, and you stick with it, you're going to be good. But you should also try to balance that off with getting good advice outside of your immediate circle so that they're not just telling you what you want to hear. If you would like to get a hold of me, if you're interested in what we're doing, we're about to open a seed round. I can be reached at greenapplepay.com, or it's greenapplepay and also all the social media, and Christopher Tufford on LinkedIn.
Thank you, Christopher.
This hour went by so fast.
That's what everyone always says. That's why I was a little nervous today. I'm like, wait a minute, there are 6 people today. Got to make this fast. Thank you, Christopher. Brian, what do you have for us?
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun. You've already heard my pitch. Obviously, if you're interested in investing, reach out. But I think more likely, if you're an entrepreneur or interested in investing in general into commercial real estate, we spent the last year compiling a ton of content, blogs, webinars, thought pieces, best practices. So we have a wealth of resources. And if I could be helpful at all with you thinking through maybe launching a company in the real estate space, being a sponsor, if you have questions, hit me up on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way. Brian Adams at Excelsior Capital. And to bring it full circle, Excelsior is the state motto of New York, ever upward.
I love it. Thank you, Brian. Janine, we answered your question. We talked. We had a wonderful conversation. What can we take away from you?
Lighten up, Woo! People. There is nothing serious going on here. 2020, you live through it. Why the crazy faces? Lighten up, okay? You're an entrepreneur, and I want to say thank you to the men that are on, because I know they support the women. But women, we're able to own property without a man to co-sign. If you live in North America as a woman, you can decide for yourself if you want to be married or not. Also, you can decide if you want to have a child or not. These are basic rights and freedoms that 80% of the world does not have if they're female. And I just want to say a shout out to the men who support us and help give us that sacred, separate space so that we can do that. And at the same time, they also buy from us. They also help us with our businesses. And so let us help out them, because I think everybody's kind of feeling a little beat up after 2020. And so lighten up, celebrate the fact, woohoo, still alive, got another day. And go out there with that passion that you have in that gut of yours and go make something great happen. Even if it's just putting a smile on a 5-year-old's face, okay? Make something great happen for yourself. And if you have an interest in being on one of my 4 podcast shows, you're welcome to send me an email, or you can visit my personal website. So don't judge, okay? I built this myself. It's JanineBolin.com/guest. You'll see all 4 of the podcast shows there. You'll see a link to the media kit. I require a media kit because I have 6 teams that do post-production. We need it done our way. Sorry, that's just the way I am. And then I would love to have you and share your message. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the time here today on the table.
That was good. You ended that like a professional. I was just waiting for the tuning out kind of thing. So I'm going to let you know right now, JanineBolin.com. I'm going to go to your website. I'm going to judge it. I'm going to review it. That's what people hire me and pay me to do it. But I'm going to do it free, complimentary, just for you, because we're going to hook all this up and we're going to get you out there. And then I'm going to be on your woo-woo podcast, whichever one that was, because I want to talk about some more woo-woo stuff because I'm woo-woo as well. And this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you did not catch the live show does not mean you're not important. I appreciate you. I thank you. I appreciate you for sharing the show. I appreciate you for tuning in. But as I always say, please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Visit our guests. Their website links are in the Facebook post. Follow them, check them out, look them up on social media, reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.